Hey, this is Jalen. I'm probably on Twitch right now, lowering my value. So leave a message after the beep. Peace.
Hey, Jalen. Brad Stevens here. I can't tell you how gosh darn miffed I am that we had to trade you. I'll tell you, straight up poppycock, that it was ultimately my decision to ship you out. And Jiminy Crickets, this flim-flam has really frosted my cookies. We'll miss you, buddy. Okay, bye now. And go f*** yourself.
Rich and Ken with Ted.
Oh, it is 93.7 WEI. Rich certainly. Ken Laird. Good old Teddy J. Sending out some love to you, my man. He'll be back on Monday. And hang on. Oh, can you find the Vucevic text that you tweet that you texted us yesterday?
Oh, that was good. That was excellent.
This was just fantastic. And by the way, we're taking your call. 617-779-7937. And as I said, I don't really do social media during the show, so this is our favorite way to stay in contact with you. Also, the Odyssey app, you can go on there, press the little microphone button, launch a take grenade. We'll play those a little bit later on. But, you know, meanwhile, while all this stuff has been going on with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, you know, obviously they've been bringing in, you know, Mitchell Robinson, Mike Conley Jr., and they also were making some moves by not going ahead with players like Nikola Vucevic. And yesterday, the Celtics tweeted out a goodbye tweet, right, Stiz?
Yeah, they tweet out a nice picture, and the caption says, "Thank you, Vucevic."
Okay, and to that, Nikola Vucevic sees that tweet, retweets it, and writes what?
So he quote tweets it after reading the replies where, oh man, poor Vuce. But he quote tweets it and says, "Hey, thanks for posting this, but all it did is set me up for the lovely replies."
Good on him, man. That was pretty funny. That actually made me laugh out loud when I saw that.
But it's amazing. He signed a one-year deal with Orlando for $4 million. That tells you where his value is right now. Like, this was your big trade piece that you thought was going to put you over the hump?
You know what? I think that they thought this could be a situation like Porzingis where they could shoot for the moon and possibly get him. I remember when they got Porzingis thinking to myself, dude, I don't even know where Porzingis is playing right now. Because I remember when, obviously, Porzingis first came into the league, it was the unicorn. Oh, my God, can you believe that this guy was what he's going to be? And then just after a while, he just seemed to disappear. So when they got him, you know, and I watched a lot of basketball, I forgot what team he was on. I'm like, oh, geez, Porzingis, what is this? And I think that's kind of what they were hoping for with Vucevic. And, you know, it didn't really.
It is a tough run, though. You've lost, I mean, people got attached to Porzingis, especially after his performance. He was kind of a, no pun intended, a unicorn.
Yeah.
I was talking to our sales manager, Loftus, and he's like, my son's 10. He's outraged at this Jalen thing. It's not only Jalen, it's Marchand leaving, it's Porzingis leaving. There's been a cavalcade of people leaving. Like, my kid can't take it. I can't imagine if you're somebody that age, you're a teenager, you have seen a lot of star power leave the city.
Saw Brady leave.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a bit now, but still, I mean, even in the last couple years, it's been quite the turnover. So, and Jalen's the biggest star by far of this, and it's a weird way to exit. You got nothing back that you can really sink your teeth into. Is anybody going to be that excited about Paul George at all at any point this year?
The only thing that you can point at and try to have some hope with is that maybe this will turn Jason Tatum into a completely different beast. Like, I mean, he's already a great player. But, I mean, I guarantee you, and I said this yesterday, like if Jaylen Brown without Jason Tatum can do what he did last year, what's Jason Tatum going to do without Jaylen Brown?
Right. Mama mentality. Here we go.
I'm telling you, there's no excuses.
If he gets hurt, though, we are screwed.
Yeah, we're effed.
Well, then they slingshot.
Like with a capital F, we are effed.
Then they trade everybody. Then they get Hauser's out of here. Derek White's got a deadline.
Yeah, I mean that's it. You're right. I'm imagining all this with a healthy Tatum. All right. So there's two ways I imagine this team next season. Whenever I think about how they're going to be, a healthy Tatum and Paul George not playing at all ever, like just being gone, like not even in the picture. So if something happens where Tatum's not playing, oh my God. Yeah. Baylor Shireman, save us. Let's go to Paul on line two. Paul, what is happening, my man?
Thank you for taking my call. I'll make it very simple. This is the investors. That conversation that started with Brad and the owner. I don't think he owns 75% of the team. This was the investors. That's how the conversation started. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you touch that 6th and 7th and 8th piece on the bench, you're going to be in trouble.
I don't get the end. What does that mean? Seventh or eighth piece.
What it means is that bench was great last year. And next thing you know, that if you try to, whether it's George or anybody, let me tell you, I'll take LeBron for the first quarter and the fourth quarter. I'm being funny. I'll take LeBron in the first quarter and the fourth quarter. But you know very well this guy does not own 75% of the team.
Paul, what's your drink of choice?
Oh, jeez.
You want a piece of meat? Okay. Some Drew Bledsoe wine, baby.
Oh, it's again.
I'm giving you ratings right now. I'm a national caller. I can call Ben Mellon and tell him about Red Breast Irish Whiskey and Drew Bledsoe wine. But it doesn't matter, man.
Oh, I love Ben Mellon.
By the way, that's legitimate great wine. Like the stuff that Bledsoe has, his vineyards are really good. They win like awards and everything, don't they?
Oh, listen. Let me tell you. I can go downstep to a lower grade wine. But, you know what, once a month I buy a bottle of that Drew Bledsoe wine, baby. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm being a village idiot right now, and you guys are laughing at me, but I'm going to tell you, we are tired of the Celtics and the Bruins in that building, TD Garden. Seven is not your lucky number.
Seven is
not. We are tired of it. If they want to go the path of Golden State and build another stadium so they can pocket every hot dog and beer and go over the tax, okay, you do that. You guys do the homework, and let me tell you, that's what this franchise is trying to do if they try to build a Celtics stadium.
What time do you like to start drinking? Paul, like, when's the best time? Because I like to do it like maybe around like 7-8 o'clock at night. When do you like to start?
No. When you babysit three kids and you change three diapers, this is when I get home to where my wife and kids sleep. I put it down, baby. You like that?
Three kids with diapers at the same time.
Wow, three kids and diapers all at the same time. No.
I said when I get home. After I watch my grandkids.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Now that I get. Listen, if you're watching grandkids, you got to drink.
You try doing that from 6:30 in the morning to 4. That's a 40-hour job. Five days a week.
No doubt. Oh, I mean, I'm drinking early. How about you?
Well, I only drink early on weekends.
Of course. And how early is that?
I love you. Listen, pardon me. I love your show.
Thank you, buddy.
I love how you didn't bash the United States team. Because what? We are second grade, coming up to first grade, and our boys play in all the top divisions, I think, in Europe. But I have to say, Pacino came, Pucci, whatever.
Puccettino.
Pacino.
Yeah, Pacino, yeah. He came here because he wanted to grasp being a coach of the United States team. He might go to Milan.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. But the idea that our boys and their parents.
Paul, you're a great caller, but we have to move on.
What you just said is one of the most insanely
Stop that.
Idiotic
Don't you dare do
I've
that.
Ever heard.
No.
Caller.
Paul, I like Paul. Paul's a good time boy. I like him. He's like he's a good timer, and I am all about that. I have no problem with the good timers, Colin.
Drew Bledsoe wine, huh?
Drew Bledsoe wine's. I'm lying. I've never had it. I've just heard.
Never had it.
Yeah, every time he comes in studio, he brings like a ton of wine and hands it out. He's just like, here you go.
Let's have him in.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, listen, for a free bottle of wine, I like Drew Bledsoe. I mean, I would talk to him in a second, but I wouldn't do it for the free wine.
Ty Law says they would have won that Super Bowl with Bledsoe or Brady. Didn't matter. 2001, they win either way.
Maybe. I don't think that's if you're talking about a healthy Drew Bledsoe.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
He was healthy by the Super Bowl.
I mean, Brady obviously turned into something special, but yeah, I don't think that's too hot of a take.
I'm not arguing with Ty Law, so.
No, and Ty Law would know. I think that's actually a really interesting take. Would they win the Super Bowl with Drew Bledsoe? Yeah, without even thinking too much, absolutely.
Can't prove it. Sure,
a million times they would win that Super Bowl, which, by the way, everybody seems to agree with me, and you were wrong, Ken. I agree with Tom Brady. He said his favorite Super Bowl was 2014, and you were like, "Oh, that's a hot take." I'm like, "No, it's a lukewarm take. It's cold."
We've got a change in the voting. your Seattle Super Bowl 2014 and Tom Brady, second place now to the 28-3 comeback.
No.
41%.
The 2014 was a much better
recount.
Super Bowl. Yep, recount.
Oh, you can vote until tomorrow.
Yeah, it was a much better Super Bowl. The 28-3 one was so stressful that the end of it wasn't even enjoyable. Like, and they won it. Even Brady didn't even realize they had won. Like, Belichick had to come out there.
It was euphoric. People were...
It was like a week later you realized that, like, oh my God, they actually pulled that off. It was so stressful. The Butler pick is the best play in football history, not just Super Bowl history.
In sports history, arguably.
Well, until, of course, the Knicks did what they did.
Oh, yeah, no, honestly, it's in that category.
But according to Brady, apparently what Argentina just did, like, yesterday.
Correct.
So, no. It was an amazing comeback, but it was too stressful. The 2014 one, and that was the Deflategate year as well. And it was the and a hot dog sliced. That was the best Super Bowl. And Brady agrees with me. So anything you say is wrong. By the way, someone said Bledsoe would have thrown two picks.
Yeah, but they still would have won.
They probably still would have won. All right, 617-779-7937. We are not going anywhere. 2 minutes. We'll be right back.
Rich and Ken with Ted.
Oh, Stephen A. He loves butts. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson will be back on Monday. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Chad Tracy, manager of the Boston Red Sox, will join us here in just a few. By the way, Stiz, great recommendation. And I know it's been everywhere, but I finally saw Obsession. I finally got it. It's on demand now.
What'd you think?
Effing great.
Thank you.
Great movie. Great movie. I love the fact that movies are making $1 zillion at the box office that aren't sequels, that aren't something that's already been, like, based on an IP that's already been made, or is a Marvel movie. Like, to me, that is awesome. That
is this the escape room one, or no? What's Obsession?
No. Obsession is a one about this guy who likes this girl, and he ends up going to the shop and making a wish on this thing that you snap, and like, wish
it's almost
granted.
Like the Monkey Paw story, but told in a pretty original and funny, freaky way.
Yeah, he just says, I wish this girl was, loved me more than anything in the world. And then it just all goes upside down. But it's so creative. Like, it's more than that. And the way it's directed is great. And I just love the fact that these young directors that Hollywood's taking a chance on these guys. And I guess Backrooms is supposed to be the same kind of thing as far as, like, another young director, a guy who, cut his teeth on YouTube. Great movie. And by the way, the other thing, too, short movie. Yes. Movies are way too long right now. Way too long. As a matter of fact, there was a study that just came out, and it was that Americans want shorter movies. As a matter of fact, a new survey said that they prefer films to run just 88 minutes.
Well, did you see the Odyssey runtime?
Yeah, so I'm looking at that right now. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at some of the movies that are coming out, the Odyssey is going to be a whopping 172 minutes long.
That's this week. It's unbelievable. Almost 3 hours.
Which,
that's like The Revenant.
I'll do it for a movie like The Odyssey. But there's no excuse for the new Spider-Man movie to be 150 minutes.
That's how long it is?
Yes. Oh my God. Spider-Man Brand New Day. A Spider-Man movie is going to be 3 hours long. Is that three? Is that right? Two hours and 30 minutes long.
The
That's
multiverse.
Right.
There's a lot going on there.
And then you got trailers. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be almost 3 hours at the theater. That is absurd for a Marvel movie. And Disclosure Day apparently was like 2.5 hours as well.
Even baseball stopped doing this.
Right. We need a pitch clock. Something that speeds these things up. But all that being said, the early reviews for The Odyssey are saying it's unbelievable.
Did I tell you, saw Disclosure Day, was very hype on Disclosure Day. Love aliens, love Steven Spielberg.
Yes.
Rice pilaf.
You're not the only one. I've heard the same thing, that it was very disappointing. And that was one of the three movies I wanted to see this summer, too. I wanted to see that. I wanted to see The Odyssey. And I want to see Toy Story 5. I think Toy Story, matter of fact, Toy Story 1 through 3 might be one of the most perfect trilogies ever made. Ever.
I think Quentin Tarantino says the same thing.
Yeah. Literally. You know, it's so funny. He said the same thing, although he's never seen the fourth one. He was like, I don't even want to see it because there's no need for it. Fourth one was actually pretty good. But 1, 2, and 3 are excellent. Excellent, excellent movie.
Christopher Nolan, I mean, we had this discussion before. His hit rate is so high. I know he's not, got the body of work of Spielberg, but like success rate, Spielberg lately he sort of fell off a cliff. I mean,
for a guy, you know what that is? Spielberg to me is like Metallica or Aerosmith in that they made such classics back in the day that I don't care if they make trash for the rest of their lives.
Yeah,
you've forever been given grace. Like, dude, the band that made Toys in the Attic, I'm not going to get pissed off for making pink as my favorite color. You know, Metallica, you made Master of Puppets. Yeah. I'm not going to get upset when you
Reload.
Like, I don't care. You can do all you want. You made Master of Puppets. You forever get a free pass. And that's like Steven Spielberg. You made Raiders of the Effing Lost Ark.
Yeah.
And E.T. and Jaws. You forever Jurassic have a Park. Pass.
All right. I'm sorry I said that.
No,
I just mean Christopher Nolan is like almost perfect, other than Tenet.
Tenet was the only movie of his that I like actively disliked because it was too confusing. It was one of those unlike Inception, which I freaking loved when I saw in the theater.
It's good. That's confusing.
I didn't understand it completely the first time, but I wanted to learn more about it. Tenet was so confusing, I didn't even care if I learned. I was like, I'm not going to read about it. This is dumb.
We agree.
I'm done. I'm over with it. But yeah, I mean, the guy who made The Dark Knight, and he made the Prestige, and he made Interstellar and Inception. Yeah, he's a great filmmaker. I did not think Oppenheimer was that good.
Oh, it's good. It was long. That was long, too. Yeah.
The last third of that movie was only made to get Robert Downey Jr. an Academy Award. It was the most hammy, overacting. The movie should have ended after the bomb went off. And it was all just like, you know, oh, how dare you, sir, you scurvy knave. And he was so hammy. And I like Robert Downey Jr., but that was not great. And that was another movie that was so long that I had to go pee the entire time. It was so crowded that I sat down in the middle of an aisle, and I had to pee so freaking bad in that movie. And, you know, no. The movies are too long. The Odyssey, I'm going to sit on an aisle, no matter what. 10 months from now when I can actually get a ticket to the movie. Like, right now, everything's sold out.
You should start 2-minute hydration breaks.
Maybe that would be the right thing to do. That could possibly be the right thing to do. But good recommendation. Obsession's great. And it's on demand now.
Good. I'm so happy you saw it.
Dude, I love scary movies that don't involve slashers. Like, slasher movies are stupid to me. I never like slasher movies. But, like, creepy, freaky movies?
That's why your Nick Cage suggestion was good. That one was
Mandy.
Good.
Mandy is probably my favorite movie of the last 10 years. And if you go a little older than Mandy, then I say Whiplash. That's my other favorite movie. All right, 617-779-7937. We've got Chad Tracy, manager of your Boston Red Sox, next. Oh, yes. Barbarian.
Nice high pitch.
Kind of.
Better than Jackson.
I can't do it like the dude from The Darkness. When he hits the notes in the song, it just... It's a new level. It's a new level, baby. It is Rich Ken and Ted Johnson. Teddy J is going to be back with us on Monday and listen to 93.7 WEEI, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Kyle in Lowell on line 2. What's up, Kyle? How's it going, my man? Hello, Kyle. Oh, it's the new studio. We're trying to get all the gremlins and the bugs
Stiz
out.
Stiz was just bragging. He was like, oh, man, first shows in the books. We've had no flaws.
Stiz literally like spiked the football a minute ago. He was like, all right, guys. It's Miller time. We just crushed this thing. And next thing you know, we can't even pull up a call. And there he is. What's up, Kyle? How's it going, buddy?
Not much. First, I appreciate Ken Laird being back in the office. I feel very privileged to be able to talk with him on the airlines.
Thank you.
But I must say, the Celtics and Brad, they really should be ashamed of themselves. And I would listen to the press conference. Where was the questions for Brad or the owner, whatever his name is, Chisholm? Why didn't this happen last year, the reset? Why didn't if we're so concerned about draft picks, why not use the 1 year we have to tank, get a draft pick, sell Jaylen Brown before the season? Like, we all knew this was going to happen. I don't think the fan base is beat off about what happened. It's the way it happened. There was no foresight. It was very Patriots-esque about 5-6 years ago. Just going where the wind blows you instead of taking things into control. Jaylen Brown wanted out. Everybody knew it. We knew we had no chance to win it, and instead they rolled the dice. The phone calls. Brad called in Joey. Joey called D. White. We're going for it this year. Thanks a lot, fellas. Thanks for the second place regular season and no chance to win it in the playoffs and screwed the Celtics for the next 4 seasons. Now, one person has been honest about this. The time to do all this was last year in the offseason, and they decided to go for it. They drank a big glass of what did you think was going to happen, and now they want us to eat the BS.
You know what, this is a great call, by the way. But the one thing about doing it last year is that you think that the response has been bad about Jaylen Brown being traded right now.
First year owner.
If you would have done it when the owner first got there and 1 year after winning a championship, dude, the place would have burned down the TD Garden. Because at least in this case, you can take a look at the two past postseasons and go, these guys just aren't built to win a championship together anymore.
And like, it's an interesting thought. Like, probably, you know, it probably would have been the smarter move, but do you give any credibility to, all right, Jalen did help the supporting cast get better and build the bench over a year? Like, if those guys didn't have Jalen, it could have been a total mess.
I don't think there's a question. I think you're right, Ken. And I do believe that, you know, these guys, that Hugo Gonzalez and Baylor Shireman, and I think that those players are going to end up having a better year this year because of the time they got to spend with Jalen Brown. I think Jalen Brown did elevate their game.
They made a playoff series. They got to experience that. Like, they were a part of at least somewhat of a run.
Yeah. No, I mean, as I said, there's a lot of basketball reasons that you can get rid of Jalen Brown. You can justify it. It's just the crap you got back.
Correct. That's it.
The absolute trash and garbage. And also, it's the fact that we now know what this ownership is, too. And they're cheap.
And we know Tatum hated Brown.
There's a new. By the way, I was listening to on my phone like a brand new clip. You're going to hear this over the next couple of days. Everyone's going to try to be the one that gets retweeted, where it's like, "Oh, they." I mean, they're full of crap. Matter of fact, I think that was the actual line that the dude with Windhorse said. If you believe Brad Stevens, then he's totally full of crap. It's really gotten just absurd. Okay, so they didn't hang out off the court. You don't have to. To be a great basketball team, you don't have to hang out off the court. My God, you're with each other all the time. Like, you're traveling together. You're on planes together. You're going to hotel rooms together. You see each other constantly when you're on the road. And if you got a family, the last thing you probably want to do is hang out with them even more. You want to see your family. There's been millions of successful teams and successful players and successful duos who were just great on the court and didn't hang out afterwards. I don't think Kobe and Shaq were the best friends, and my God, they were awesome. We know they weren't best friends. I think that, like, when, you know, what was that whole thing where Kobe ended up winning a championship, or I'm sorry, Shaq won a championship in Miami, and he did that Tell Me How My Ass Tastes?
Yeah,
like, that is, you don't
have
to.
That's coming. That's next month. Wait till JBS success. Sixers win the title. He'll do the Tell Me How My Ass Tastes 2027 version.
Well, maybe I'd actually like to see Tatum say something like that, because he's so boring in all these interviews for baby McDonald's.
You're turning on Tatum. This is your one max guy for the next 10 years.
The one thing I've always said about Tatum is that he is horribly boring off the court, and it's not a bad quality to be. Like, it's like, you, that means you're not going to get in any trouble. You're not somebody that's going to cause any kind of rift. You are extremely boring, but it doesn't change the fact that you are a mashed potato sandwich. Like, every time you do an interview, it's like,
face of the franchise, like Pasta, Wilson Contreras, and Drake May. Those are the big four now in Boston. That's your Mount Rushmore.
Oh, dude, you're right. So Contreras is the face of the Red Sox?
He's on pace for like 40 bombs. You got a power hitter. You got a guy in the home run derby.
I'm actually glad he's the face of it. I like him a lot. I like him a lot.
He's fighting.
He's fighting, getting angry.
Yeah.
He's going to ruin himself in the home run derby like everybody does who does the home run derby. Let's not wish that on him. All right, everybody, have yourself a phenomenal evening.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, shout out to the engineers of Odyssey.
Great job.
Because
Eric Fitch.
A lot of these guys, like,
Clay
it's
Walker.
Like, it is a thankless job to be an engineer in radio. And what they have done to get this place ready and launch an entire radio station, cluster of radio stations, well done. Well done. Stiz, Jackson, well done, too.
Nice job, guys.
First show in the new studio, Ken.
Yep.
We will see you guys tomorrow. Everybody, enjoy your Red Sox baseball here on WEEI and all of our WEEI affiliates. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We love you.